doing the Mo Salah. Raheem Sterling, what a finish. What pure class from the Englishman.
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast. For the fan.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Premier Talk. I'm your host, Andrew Mello. Alongside me, with me, as always, is Dan Barbudo. This is episode 7. We're going to title this one Diego Maradona, a tribute to the late Argentinian footballer. We're going to, you know, talk about him later in the episode. Definitely a sad, sad week for football fans all around the world. But, you know, we'll touch that topic later, and we're just going to kick it off with the starting lineup here, Daniel.
Yeah, so it has been a very sad weekend for football fans all around the world. But we're going to start our episode off today with our starting lineup. We're going to start off with our Match Day 9 recap, as always.
Our Champions League recap.
Our Diego Maradona tribute.
And then also, you know, a new segment similar to the Premier League quiz. We're going to call it the Premier League Who Am I? It's going to be a great segment. You're going to have to guess who the player is based on some hints.
Yeah, so we got definitely a great episode for you guys. Just to start off here, we're going to start off with a Match Day 9 recap. We're starting on Saturday, November 21st. There was four games on Saturday. The first game was Manchester United versus West Brom. You know, my team, Manchester United, coming out with a big win against West Brom. Definitely needed the 3 points, definitely against a lower-tier opponent. The only goal in this game was scored by Bruno Fernandes from a penalty in the 56th minute. So no complaints for me here. I know, obviously, a little bit of a scrappy win, you know, didn't get as much of a gap to win this game as I would have wanted as a United fan, but 3 points for me, so I'm happy with this result.
Next, we're going to go to Chelsea and Newcastle. Chelsea won this one 2-0. My prediction was right from last episode. You know, I didn't think Newcastle was going to win this one, but Chelsea, they just did their thing, and they won this one quite convincingly. You know, Newcastle didn't have many chances. And, you know, Federico Fernandes, the center half from Newcastle, Argentinian center half, he scored an own goal in the 10th minute to give Chelsea the 1-0 advantage. And then later on the game, Tammy Abraham scored in his, the goal was assisted by Timo Werner. And that was in the 65th. And Chelsea won this one 2-0. It's not my favorite to see Tammy and Werner playing together. I think two of them, they don't really pan out that well together just because Timo has to go out on the wing and Tammy goes to the center of the park. But, you know, it is what it is. And at the end of the day, Frank Lampard's tactics worked out. So, good result for my Blues.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind Tammy Abraham playing up top. I know, obviously, that puts Werner out wide. But I think Tammy Abraham is young talent, and he definitely has a place, I think, coming off the bench every game for them. I don't know if he has a place in the starting lineup with that, because that team with the new signings that they've gone and picked up this year, I don't know if he has a place in the starting lineup, but I think coming off the bench, he can definitely help that Chelsea side win some games. We're going to move on to the next game here, which was Aston Villa and Brighton. I think a lot of us expected Aston Villa to come out with the win in this one, especially based on how they've been playing lately. But Brighton came out on top of this one 2-1, and there was a desperate 3 points needed for Brighton to create some separation from relegation, because they were sitting in 17th. And so yeah, it was a big win. Danny Welbeck and Solly March scored the two goals for Brighton, and then Konsa Nagoyo, I always gonna butcher that, scored for Aston Villa, which is the center half from Aston Villa. And what happened is Brighton's Lamptey had the second yellow card in the 90th minute. He got his first in the 88th, and then 2 minutes later he got his second yellow card to put Brighton down a man in the game. But they ended up holding on for the much needed 3 points against Aston Villa.
Yeah, no one thought that Brighton was going to take this one. You know, Villa have been good this season to start the season. They started the season very well. Teared off a little bit as the season progressed, but wow, for Brighton to hold on and get the 3 points in this one was crucial, because they're sitting at the bottom of the table, and we predicted last week that Aston Villa was going to win, and you know, we seem to be wrong, and no one expected this, so it was definitely a shocking result for Brighton.
Yeah, and the next game, I'm going to leave to you, because I think you had predicted this one correctly, and I was very incorrect at this one.
I predicted Man City to win, and damn, boy, was I wrong. Man City lost this one 2-0. Tottenham and Mourinho's men, they've been phenomenal of late. They topped the table currently, and Son scored in the 5th, Lo Celso scored in the 65th, and Manchester City, they showed up on the stat sheet for sure, but it wasn't in the goal department. They had more possession, more shots on target, they just couldn't score, and Mourinho's defensive tactics proved to, you know, work once again. And people always count on Mourinho. They always count him out, and he always seems to surprise people, even though you know, they may not be in the best of form. And but this Tottenham team, they've been superb of late, and Europa League not so much, but in the Premier League, they've been the best team by far and the most consistent team by far.
Yeah, this game plan that Mourinho had was like his usual. It's very defensive. What happened is he basically had dropped Sissoko, and their other CDM was, which was, I always butcher his name. It was
Højbjerg.
Højbjerg. It was Højbjerg playing as the other center defensive mid. And what happened is they basically dropped in between the center backs and the fullbacks, creating like a line of six. That City, we know City, they always try to pass their way through everything. And you're not going to pass your way through a six-man in the back. Like, it's just there's way too many players in a small space. And you have to – I know their team obviously is fantastic passing the ball and breaking down teams' lines. But for a six-back and Tottenham's defense playing so well defensively, it's going to be very difficult for City to break down. And it proved to work for Tottenham in the end, as they ended up coming out on top in this one.
Yeah, Mourinho's plan worked out to perfection, like I said before. And he knows Pep's game. He knows that they're a passing team, a possession team. And Mourinho's like, yeah, you can go have all the possession. We're just going to sit back. We're going to form this line, and you're not going to break us down because we're going to stay organized. And that's what they did. And I think Højbjerg, the Danish international, formerly of Southampton as well, I think that was a great signing. I think a lot of people were raising eyebrows when they first signed him. Like, why are we going to go grab a Southampton center defending mid that, you know, he's good, but he's nothing special, right? And it just shows you that he could fit in the system quite well, and he has fit in the system, and he's been consistent. And, you know, overall for me, I think that's what been their one of their top signings this offseason for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on that note, we're going to move on to the next day, Sunday, November 22nd. Again, there was another four games played. The first game we're going to look at here is Fulham versus Everton. Everton ended up coming out on top of this one 3-2. Dominic Calvert-Lewin has been on fantastic form as of late, and he scored in this one in the first minute. And then Fulham came back, and Bobby Reid scored in the 19th minute to tie the game. And then 10 minutes later, Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored again to make the game 2-1. Later in the game, Decore had scored his first goal for his new club, which was a header just off a set piece. Actually, it was off a cross from Lucas Digne. And talking about Lucas Digne, he had two of the three Everton assists that happened throughout the game. So it was definitely a big game for Everton. You got a big game from Dominic Calvert-Lewin, which is expected of him in his form right now. Doucouré coming up with his first goal, and Digne assisting, two of the three Everton goals. So it was fantastic to see from them. And then Loftus-Cheek scored in the 70th minute, which was 2 minutes after Fulham had missed a penalty. And when you take into consideration that Fulham missed a penalty and they lost the game by one goal, you know, obviously with a penalty, the game changes. But if you look at it, technically this game should have been tied 3-3. But again, Fulham with a missed penalty, dropping points, sitting in the position that they are on the table, it's just not a very good look for Fulham.
Daniel, who missed that penalty? I'm just curious to know. Because if it was Adam Lookman again, you know.
I don't think it was Cavaliero. I always butcher his name.
Yeah, it's just it's honestly, if you're looking at it from a Fulham perspective, like another game drop because of a penalty, or points drop potentially because of a penalty. It's you know, it's hard. It's gut wrenching for the fans and for the club to drop points when they're in a position where they're struggling. It's not a good look, and they're also struggling to stay afloat, and they want to, you know, get out of the relegation zone too. And this is not how they're going to do it, by missing penalties and dropping points from missed opportunities. It's just pathetic. And you know, I've always said there's some decent players on Fulham, but there's a lot of mediocre ones, and that's why they sit where they are. And I think Fulham's just, they're going to be always fighting for relegation if they don't switch things up. And Everton, it's, you know, it's too close for Everton too. They want to be, you know, beating Fulham in this fashion. They're a better side than this. We've seen them start phenomenally this season, and like Aston Villa, they've also tapered off. They're starting to find their form, starting to, you know, get some wins, and I'm happy to see Calvert-Lewin get back on the score sheet and get a brace here. So Things are looking up for Everton, and things are not looking so good for Fulham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how you said that Everton had teetered off there for a little bit, because this was definitely a huge game for Everton, but it was the game that Fulham, if they would have won or even tied this game, I don't think many people would have questioned it that heavily, because the form that Everton's been in of late, they started off so well and then they tapered off a little bit. And if Fulham would have, this could have been easily a game that Fulham could have taken some points away from Everton, and it would have helped them out a lot.
Yeah, not a shocking result here in the next one. West Ham, they've been playing great this season, you know, getting some great results against some of the bigger sides. We said this before. And they won this 1-0 against Sheffield. Sheffield, not the best of sides, struggling to score goals, you know, have yet to get a win. And they look poor all around. And they look completely different than they did last year. They had a great season last year. They're just not cutting it this year. And you know, the signings haven't made an impact. Rian Brewster hasn't made an impact, and they're definitely going down. I could bet, you know, all the money in my bank account that they're going down this year, because they've just been very poor. And Sebastian Haller got on the score sheet in the 56th, and Sheffield sit dead last. But cool fact here, Sebastian Haller, you know, born in France, but he has ties to Ivory Coast. And recently, a couple weeks ago, him and Wilfred Bally, the Wolves center half, they both featured an Ivory Coast match. Later on in their careers, they're not exactly the youngest of players. And I thought it was cool that they switched their nationality and featured for an Ivory Coast side. And you know what? Haller also bagged a goal in his debut for Ivory Coast. So pretty cool story there.
Yeah, it is an interesting story. Like you said, I know both of them probably didn't feature, if they featured at all, for France. And they know that they're starting to age in their career, and they want to play internationally for a team that definitely needs the help as an Ivory Coast. Not that their team is awful, but when you look at France's side, that team has so much depth, and it's just a bunch of powerhouse players, and team's absolutely fantastic. So I think it was a good and pretty cool move for both those players. We're going to move on to the next game, which was Arsenal Leeds. This game ended in a 0-0 tie. And it's just not a good look for Arsenal again. Like, I think this is 2 weeks in a row where just Arsenal's been pretty poor. And Pepe got a straight red in this one for headbutting Leeds player Egyan Alioski. See, I butchered some of the names.
That's a difficult one.
Yeah, it is a difficult name. But yeah, he got a straight red for headbutting him. They got into a little bit of a dispute, a little bit of pushing and shoving as the play was going on. And then Pepe turned around and headbutted him right in the forehead. There was a little bit of exaggeration on behalf of the Leeds player, but still, it went to VAR because the ref hadn't seen it, and it was rightfully given a red, in my opinion. Headbutts are not one to be tolerated, and as soon as you extend your head towards another player, you're looking at a straight red card all day long.
Yeah, this 0-0 draw is good for Leeds. I think it's an important point and a step forward for Leeds. For Arsenal, it's a step back. It's another missed opportunity. It's more drop points. It's not looking good for a club that spends, you know, a decent amount of money compared to that of Leeds. Leeds' newly promoted side, my dark horse. That just sums it up there. And good on Leeds for getting a point against Arsenal. You know, good result for them.
Yeah, now we're going to move on to probably the biggest.
This was a shocker.
It was a big shock in this week. Andrew, I'll leave it to you for a little discussion on the Liverpool-Leicester game.
This one ended 3-0. I'm not saying that Liverpool wouldn't have won this one, but we counted them out for all the right reasons. Last episode, we talked about COVID and, you know, the situation with players returning from international duty. And Liverpool had numerous players out due to COVID concerns and testing positive for COVID. And then also they had a handful of players out due to injury. We know that their entire back line has been out due to injury. The only one that featured in this match was Robertson, the left back. And they won this one 3-0. And, you know, it wouldn't have surprised me if it was against a team like Sheffield, but they're playing a great side in Leicester, and Leicester's been quite good this year. And it just shows you this season, anything can happen. Anything is possible. If anyone's going to win that usually doesn't win, they're going to win this year. And Johnny Evans, you know, I saw the goal, and it was unfortunate. He headed it into his own net. It was an own goal there. And then Jota, who's, you know, he's continuing his amazing form, scores another goal. And Firmino also netted one there to finish it off 3-0. And an impressive result from Liverpool just due to the fact that they had a lot of key guys out.
Yeah, Jota continuing his great form, scoring again for this Liverpool side. And then Firmino finally getting back on the goal sheet for Liverpool. I saw a stat that it was like his first goal in so many games at home for Liverpool, which was just a crazy stat to see, because Anfield, that stadium and the...
Do you have an idea of how many goals it was, or games? Maybe like 50 games or so?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was just since last year.
Okay.
I think it was the first goal since last year at Anfield. And Anfield, everybody knows when you go there, the fans are on your back, and it is absolutely, it's a fantastic like place to play, because like just it's absolutely wild there at Anfield.
World-class atmosphere for sure.
It is a world-class atmosphere. And just seeing that stat was a little bit surprising for me, but now Firmino getting back on the goal sheet, hopefully he can continue to get some more goals and solidify again. I don't know if it's been taken away from him, but solidify his position in the starting 11 back again.
Next up, we had Burnley and Crystal Palace on Monday, November the 23rd. You know, it's funny, Daniel, last week I called Chris Wood out. It was funny because I called him out and I said they have no striking ability up top. No one's going to grab them goals. And I said how Chris Wood has been non-existent, and what does he do this week? He goes and scores a goal, the only goal in this tie. He scores in the fifth minute early on, and you know, it helps Burnley get a crucial win. Burnley have been terrible this season, like Sheffield and like Fulham. They sit at the bottom of the table, towards the bottom of the table, and it's a great result for Burnley, and it goes to show you how inconsistent Crystal Palace have been, because Crystal Palace, we've talked about this in previous episodes, how they've been able to, you know, beat the Manchester Uniteds of the league, but also lose to the Burnleys of the league. So inconsistency is the main theme in Crystal Palace right now.
Mm-hmm, yeah, Crystal Palace have been very inconsistent throughout the entire year. And this was definitely a big win for Burnley because it pushes them out of relegation now. And now they sit in 17th, just outside of relegation. But it was definitely a very needed 3 points for them. The next game we're going to move on to, in the last game of match day 9, was Wolverhampton versus Southampton. This game ended in a 1-1 draw. And it's pretty funny in this one. Theo Walcott got his first goal for Southampton in 15 years. So he started off for Southampton and then he moved to Everton?
No, Arsenal, then Everton.
And then when he came, now he's finally back playing for Southampton and he gets his first goal in almost 15 years. So just a crazy stat to see there. Pedro, again, not Portuguese like Andrew, Pedro Neto scored the equalizer for Wolves in this one.
Not bad on the pronunciation there.
There you go. Get the justification from Andrew. And both of these teams continue to do pretty well in the league. And it was just a very average game. And both teams came out with a point. So they continue their great run of form.
You know what? I'm going to talk about Pedro Neto for a bit, because it was kind of big that Jota left at first. And it's been kind of big that he's been scoring the goals and having the great run of form. And people could say, oh, you know, Wolves, they're missing out on a key guy right now. But who do they got? They got Pedro Neto. I think he's a class signing. They signed him last year, and he played for Lazio. Got some playing time there, but it wasn't consistent. And now he's finally finding his first team minutes here with the Wolverhampton side. And I think he fits perfectly in this system that Nuno Espirito Santo has going. And I think he's gonna do well, and I think he's gonna fill in the shoes of Diogo Jota for sure.
We're gonna move it on here to the Champions League recap. The first day of Champions League games happened on Tuesday, November 24th. There was two games. There was Andrew's team and my team. Andrew, I'm gonna throw it to you. You can talk about the Chelsea and A game.
Yo, the Blues, they're showing up in Europe this year. I gotta hand it to them, because years prior they haven't been too good. They've been in the Europa League as well. They won a couple years ago, but they're in the Champions League now, and they're showing that they're a Champions League side. Callum Hudson-Odoi is not one guy to get many minutes for the Chelsea side due to they got Christian Pulisic, Werner, Tammy, you know, the list goes on. And for him to get minutes was big in this one, and he scored, he got on goal, and a lovely through ball was sent over the top, and he got in on goals all by himself, and he finished this one bottom right corner in the 22nd to put the Blues up 1-0. Gourassi, I don't know if I'm getting that right, leveled up the game for Rennes in the 85th. And Giroud, late on in the game, saved the Blues in a stoppage time goal in the 91st minute. So this was a crucial win for the Blues. It puts them 10 points level with Sevilla in the group. And it ensures also that both teams go through. Both of their wins, respectively, put them through to the round of 16. So, huge win for the Blues.
Yeah, Giroux, I think, coming in clutch in the 91st minute to get the 3 points for Chelsea. I know there's been reports coming out of France that many France fans, and I think many of the players, the team's representatives, want Giroux to leave Chelsea because they don't think he's going to get enough playing time, obviously, with Werner coming in, and he's aging in his career. But he plays in and out for France, and he's a pretty integral part of that team, scoring a bunch of goals for them. And when you think of that France team, it's like you don't think that Giroud would ever have a spot in that team, because like I had said earlier in the episode, that team is full of just powerhouse players. Like, that whole team is absolutely amazing. And when you think of Giroud, obviously, he's a pretty class striker, but you just wouldn't see a spot for him in this Chelsea side. But he does so well playing like right in front of Griezmann, almost as a man to lay off to Griezmann. And it works really well for that France side. So for him to come on here and win the game for Chelsea was definitely big.
Yeah, Deschamps loves him, the head coach of the French national team. There's loads of talent, like you said. Lots of attacking options on that in the French national side. But Giroud always slots in there. He starts consistently for them. And it's because he's that classic number nine. He's going to hold the ball up for you. And it doesn't matter who's up there at the end of the day, because it matters who he's laying the ball off to. And that's Griezmann. That's Mbappe. That's guys like Martial, Coleman. The list goes on and on. But that's why he starts in and out for France. But for Chelsea, it's a different story. It's a different system. Different coach, obviously, with Frank Lampard. But honestly, as a Chelsea fan, as someone that admires the club, I think it's time for him to go. You know, it's hard to fit him in there because you got Tammy Abraham, and there's already enough competition between Tammy and Werner. So I think that, there's obviously reports coming out of Italy saying that he's going to go to a retirement home in Inter Milan, because all they do is swoop up old Premier League players like Ashley Young. Next is Giroud. They picked up Eriksen, so they're just a retirement home for Premier League players. So Alexis Sanchez, another one. See, the list goes on and on. So he might end up there, who knows? But I think he needs to move on from the Blues because there's enough competition already.
Well, on that note, we're going to move on to, we just finished discussing, Andrew, your favorite team in the Prem. We're going to move on to my favorite team, Manchester United. They played Istanbul Beşiktaş in this one, and they came out on top 4-1. It was a great game for Manchester United. Bruno Fernandes got two goals in this one. He scored in the 17th, which was an absolute rocket of a shot. And then he scored in the 19th minute, which was pretty a funny mistake from the goalkeeper, just dropping the ball out of his hands off of a cross. Rashford then scored a penalty a few minutes later. And then Beşiktaş scored in the 75th. So at this point, it was 3-1. They brought on a couple subs, Manchester United. They brought on Dan James, and he ended up getting on the score sheet in the 92nd to make it 4-1. And I think this was not only big goals for Bruno and Rashford, but to Dan James, because he tries to come off the bench quite a lot. And with the five subs now, that allows for him to come off the bench a little bit more, especially when they need a little bit of pace up top, because he's a very fast player. And I think that it just helps his confidence a little bit, because he's playing on an international level and he's getting a goal to help solidify the win for his team.
Yeah, I think this was a payback for Manchester United. Last time they played Istanbul, they lost 4-1, the same result, but this way they got it the other way around, 4-1. So huge win for Manchester United. And, you know, it's class from Bruno Fernandes to not only, you know, give up the pen, because he could have had a hat trick earlier in the game, but he decided to give it up to Rashford. And, you know, it ended up proving to be the right decision, because Rashford ended that penalty quite well. So just a great game from Manchester United, and they have to continue building on this and continue to get results. That's important.
It's been obviously a disappointing start to the season, because many expected them to do a lot better, but hopefully they can build on this and not only do well in Champions League, but also do well in the league.
Yes, we are going to go to the next day, Wednesday, November 25th. There was two more games for English sides. In the Champions League, it was Olympiacos taking on Manchester City. Man City playing away in Greece against Olympiacos. Phil Foden, he scored the only goal in the match, 1-0. Daniel, what do you think about that game? Do you think it was a good result? And what do you think about Phil Foden of late?
I think it's a good result for City. I think they were expected to come out and win this one. And Foden, I love personally. I think he's a fantastic player, and I think he deserves more minutes for Manchester City. But then again, being younger and that team has so much depth in the midfield, it's hard to slot him in sometimes. But I think playing him against maybe lower tier sides like Olympiacos is such a great way for him to excel in his career and to show people that he's not just somebody that can be looked over, because he's definitely a great player for this Manchester City side.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's so hard to tell if a player is good or not, especially an English player, because there's this thing with English young players, and it's the British hype phenomenon. And, you know, people love to hype up British players when they score a couple of goals. They're young and they're having a great run of form, but some of them cool off. And we've seen that a lot of times. And I just think Phil Foden is a different player. He's been with City, you know, throughout the years and in the academy, and he's worked his way up to the first team. He's definitely earned it. And it's hard to get minutes, especially as a youngster playing on such a squad with so much depth. But I think he's going to be a David Silva type player. He plays similarly to that of David Silva. He could fit the cam position in this team. David Silva is no longer with the side, but I think he could fill that spot in quite well. And he plays very similarly to that of the Spain international. So I think that City's got a great player on their hands, and they don't always need to go out and spend and buy players, because they can produce talent as well. And we've seen that here with Phil Foden.
Yeah, I think for sure that there is a lot of British hype, but I think sometimes players can overlook that, like Phil Foden has been doing lately for Manchester City. We're just going to move on to the last game featuring English teams in the Champions League. And this one was Liverpool versus Atalanta. I think coming off Liverpool's win against Leicester, many expected them to win this game, no matter the lack of defensive prowess that they have on their team right now because of injuries and COVID. But you're coming off beating Leicester, who is definitely a fantastic side, and going to Atalanta to play in Italy. They figured that they should still win, but it wasn't the case, as Atalanta won this one 2-0. And Ilicic scored in the 60th, and then Robin Gosens scored 4 minutes later in the 64th. And this was, I think, a little bit upsetting for Liverpool fans, knowing that they just come off such a great win. But it looks like their defensive injuries just caught up to them, and they couldn't come up with a win in this one.
Yeah, Daniel, I think the problem is also the high number of matches teams have to play, you know, for the respective you know, leagues, their own leagues, and then they have to go and play European League matches, Champions League matches, Europa League matches. Also, you know, there's international breaks. It's a lot on the players this year, especially with, you know, COVID as well. But I think it's adding up, and teams definitely drop off and tear off in some games because they're so tired and they don't have enough player personnel to put out there.
Mm-hmm. On that note, I think we're going to move on to a little bit of a sadder topic. The football legend Diego Armando Maradona had passed away this week from a heart attack on November 25th, 2020. He was considered to be one of the greatest of all time by many. And just seeing his death in the soccer community, it's been a very sad time for all soccer fans.
Yeah, Maradona, he played for Sevilla, Barcelona, and Napoli. And he was well known for his days in Napoli. He had over 150 goals in 328 matches. He also was a four-time Footballer of the Year, a one-time Spanish Cup winner, a one-time Spanish Super Cup winner, and a one-time World Cup winner, where, you know, during the 1986 World Cup in Mexico, he scored one of the most famous goals of all time that stood. If there's VAR in that match, I don't think they would have called it. They would have had to go back on it, but it was the hand of God. Maradona scored with his hand, and he did lead that Argentinian national team to the second World Cup ever. And just a sad day. You know, I wasn't personally, I haven't been able to watch him live, but I've seen numerous highlight tapes of Diego Maradona, and just overall you could tell in every one of his clips, every one of his highlights, how much of a class player he was. He was amazing on the ball, similar to that of Messi, but he just skipped and he danced every time he played. It was like honestly a work of art watching Diego Maradona's highlights. And just super sad to see him go. He was only 60 years old, and you know, football fans definitely have a tough week.
Yeah, it was all over the world, and especially in Argentina, there was crowds of people that were mourning him and showing up at his murals, and even all across Napoli where he played, there was again fans mourning his death, and there was murals that were being painted or already had been painted of him, because he gave Napoli their only, I believe, two Italian Cup victories and championships. And those are the only two cups that Napoli had won in Italy. So, you know, he was considered to be one of the greatest by many, and I think he will definitely be remembered in such a fantastic way because he's a football icon, and may he rest in peace.
Yeah, I just saw something on Instagram today. I thought it was so cool. The Napoli side played today against Roma. And in this match, they didn't use their regular jerseys. They had a special one-time jersey that mirrored the Argentinian national jersey. So cool to see the Argentinian stripes. You know, Napoli also has the same colors, that light blue. And they all paid tribute to him at the start of the match. And Insigne netted a brilliant free kick. And you know, he raised up Maradona's jersey. Definitely a touching moment there, and just shows you how much Diego Maradona has had an impact, not only on fans of the game, but players of the game. So truly, truly special. And, you know, he'll definitely never be forgotten because of all that he's done for the game.
Yeah, it's been happening all over the world too, because there's been tributes in I've saw tributes in rugby and football matches where there's like they have no... they're not connected to him in any way. It's just like maybe there's players on the team that are Argentinian, or maybe they're massive fans or even idols of he's been their idols. But it's just been great to see that across all sports that they've honored him in a way that he deserves to be honored, because again, he was a football icon, and to be considered the greatest of all time, he obviously had to have showed and given something to the sport that many saw, witnessed, and are now trying to repay to show that they're grateful for what he's done.
Yeah, we're going to move on to our next segment here. It's the Premier League Who Am I segment, similar to that of the quiz that we've done in the past, Daniel. This is a segment that I've loved to do. We wanted to switch it up a little bit. So it's Who Am I? So you have to guess who the player I'm describing is. So there's going to be three hints, Daniel. The first one's going to be the hardest. The second one's going to be a little bit easier. And then obviously the last hint's going to be super easy, try to help you get that answer there. So I'm going to go through it. This is courtesy of Sky Sports. Search this up on the internet. Wanted to see some, you know, some questions that would challenge you. So we're going to start with the first one. Number one, there's 10 of these. So this is the first hint for question number one. I originally played Gaelic football and I costed Everton £60,000 in January of 2009. Gaelic football is a British sport with a mixture of rugby and soccer. I don't know if you're going to be able to guess who it is.
I'm going to need another hint after that one.
He suffered a broken leg while playing for the Republic of Ireland in March 2017.
I'm still going to need another hint.
He plays right back for Everton.
I still...
You don't know any Everton right backs. He's Irish.
Oh, I know who it is. It is Seamus Coleman.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. You're right on question number one.
There's 1 point there. Sorry. That was my brain was having a little lag right there. I needed to think nice and hard about that one.
Okay. Number two. As a kid, I started out as a goalkeeper. Yeah, no chance.
There's no chance.
Let me give you some more context. I'll give you 3 points if you get this one too. I have won 4 Premier League titles.
A bunch of players have won 4. Well, not a bunch. A good handful of players won 4 Premier League titles.
So and then last one is, I have left Manchester City as of last season. He no longer plays for the side. Who am I?
I'm going to go with David Silva.
David Silva, yes, you're correct. There we go. David Silva. Okay, number three. I was released from Chelsea's academy in 2014.
Not a chance to get that one there. I'm going to need another hint.
At the end of last season, I was named as Young Hammer of the Year for the third time in a row. Young Hammer being the award for West Ham.
So West Ham player last year.
Yeah.
He was dropped from the Chelsea side. I'm still going to need another hint.
I switched my international allegiance from Ireland to England in February 2019. Who am I?
Is it Declan Rice?
Declan Rice, you're correct. Three for three. We're going to move on to number four here. I had 2 spells on loan at Sunderland. No chance.
No chance.
I am the second most decorated Northern Irish footballer with 10 major trophies. You should know this now. He plays in the Prem. He has played his entire career in the Prem. Northern Ireland is his...
Shane Long?
No. Shane Long is Irish.
Oh, Northern Ireland. Oh,
he's from the Republic of Ireland. This is Northern Ireland. We just talked about him in the episode. In this episode.
Okay, we need another hint.
I have played for three Premier League clubs: Man United, West Brom, and now Leicester.
Johnny Evans.
Johnny Evans, yeah.
Johnny Evans. I forgot we talked about him for a little bit. Got an own goal.
We're halfway here. He scored an own goal this week against Liverpool. Brilliant header if it was on the other side of the field, but it was in his own net, unfortunately. So number five, we go here. I've won 6 Premier League Player of the Month awards. It's pretty impressive, actually. 6 Premier League Player of the Month awards.
I'm going to go with just a random guess here. Heung-Min Son?
Nope.
Okay.
Good guess, though. Good guess, though. I am Tottenham's third highest all-time goal scorer.
Harry Kane,
yep.
I was close with the Tottenham. I knew it was – figured it would be one of those attacking players.
And then the last hint, you got it already, though, was Teddy Sheringham was my childhood idol. So there you go. Number 6. Daniel, you're 5 for 5.
There we go. I'm not doing too bad compared to the Premier Talk test.
Okay. I spent my early years at Carlisle United's academy.
Yeah, because I'm going to get that one there.
I am on my 5th loan away from Manchester United.
5th loan away from Manchester United.
Ooh. Currently plays for Manchester United. There's a hint right there.
I have no clue.
I have kept 10 Premier League clean sheets last season.
Dean Henderson.
Yes, sir.
There we go.
You have to get out that one. You knew it was. I knew it was. Played for Manchester United now, so yeah. Not too hard. So you're 6 for 6, Daniel. We're going to move to number 7. I began my career at Barcelona.
Your career?
Yeah, I know. Career? I began my career at Barcelona's La Masia Academy. I made 8 appearances for Watford on loan in the 2013-14 season.
I have no clue. I'm going to need another hint.
All right. Think London. He plays for a London-based side.
Coming from Barcelona. Oh! I'm going to guess he's Spanish. La Masia. I know he came from La Masia. I'm going to go Adama Traore.
No, good guess though. Very good guess though. Oh. The last one here, it's going to narrow it down a little bit. I have won the FA Cup twice with Arsenal.
Was it Cesc Fabregas?
Nope. He currently plays for them. You're on the right track with Adama.
I was on the right.
Yeah, Adama? You're thinking right. You're thinking right. Adama, La Masia, Spanish.
I was trying to do the same thing with Fabregas. He plays for Arsenal currently, though. That's the only thing with Fabregas and Adama. Hector Bellerin?
Yes, you're correct. Hector Bellerin, good guess. That was good. So you're 7 for 7, then. You're on fire right now. So this one's – we're thinking Manchester United here with this one, number 8. My move to Manchester United was the highest transfer fee paid for a teenager at the time.
Tony Martial.
You're right. Tony Martial is correct.
There we go.
The following hints were: I was named Premier League Player of the Year, Player of the Month in my first month in England. Had a great start, as we all know. And he's also scored 45 goals in 136 Premier League appearances.
Yep, Tony Martial. Anthony Martial.
Number 9. I've won back-to-back PL titles, but not with the same club.
Ooh, you're going to need another hint.
I have also won the World Cup.
I feel like if you had time to narrow it down, you could. So he won back-to-back Premier League titles.
And he's also won World Cup.
Also won a World Cup. I'm going to need one more hint.
I signed a new 5-year deal with Chelsea in November 2018. Who am I? Don't think big, think small.
Think small. Okay. He's a Chelsea player. He's won a World Cup. He's obviously young to be signing 5 years.
I'm going to give you 10 seconds. 10 seconds. This is where you might get wrong here, Daniel.
I think I got a little bit of a guess. I'm going to go with Kurt Zouma.
I said think small, Daniel, and I meant the tiny little midfielder N'Golo Kanté when I said it.
Oh, I was thinking of the wrong Frenchman. Jesus.
Zouma never has won a World Cup, by the way. He was never featured in that World Cup side. And he also didn't – I don't think he signed a new 5-year deal. Maybe he signed a 4-year deal, I think it was. But the answer to that, number 9, was N'Golo Kante. Number 10, last question. You could go 9 for 10, which is pretty good in my books. So it says here, when I was taking this test annually before, I got it off this first one alone. I just guessed. I swear I just guessed and I got it right. I began my career at Leeds Academy in 1996.
I'm not a chance.
Daniel, it was crazy. I was taking this and I'm like thinking about it and I just guessed and I got it right. It was crazy. It was crazy.
I got not a clue.
Okay. Next one. I hold the record for the most England U21 caps at 46.
England U21 caps at 46. So he's young. He's definitely good enough to play for England's U21 team.
He doesn't have to be young, Daniel, because
1996. Yeah, you got to think of it like that.
Yeah.
Leeds Academy in 1996. So, I mean, he might be a little bit older. I have a guess, but I'm not going to say it because it's going to sound really dumb.
Just guess it. Go.
No. I don't even have a guess. That was just a really dumb play that popped into my mind.
Okay. So, I'm going to give you the last hint.
Last hint, yeah.
The only major club honor I haven't won is the Europa League, but was a runner-up with Liverpool in the 2015-2016 season.
Liverpool Leeds got to be older.
Still plays for Liverpool.
Old, though. He's got to be. And he's English, and he had a bunch of caps for England, so he was sick when he was young. Is it Milner?
It's James Milner. You're correct.
Oh, that's nuts.
You know, I remember seeing a post on Instagram before I took this test, and I was looking at it, and it was James Milner and a Leeds kid, and I didn't know that he started his career off with Leeds, but he did. And I when I was taking the test today, and I saw these hints, I'm like, damn, it's got to be Milner. So I got that one right, too, right off the bat, too. It's kind of funny. But yeah, Daniel, 9 for 10, you did really good. But
I did better than I thought.
But you know what's the thing? This is no Premier Talk test. So the Premier Talk test, they take it up a level. We're going to have one next week for sure. We got to get one more of those in here. If not, it's going to be Who Am I? We haven't decided yet, but we love doing these little quizzes, these little segments to test our knowledge. It's super fun. Hope you guys are, quizzing along with us. But yeah, 9 for 10, Daniel, not too bad.
Yeah, no, it was a good test. A couple difficult questions in there. You know, I think the third hint definitely helped a lot. Because for most of them, it was like, I think I got one on the first hint, maybe two, and then a couple on the second hint. And then the third hint definitely was the best.
Yeah, I have a Who Am I right now that I just came up with. I play for Manchester United. Okay. The second hint is I have more haircuts than I have goals. Who am I?
Well, that was an easy one. I'm going to say Paul Pogba.
Oh, yeah, Paul Pogba. That's it. Paul Pogba. Paulie P.
Yeah, it was pretty simple as soon as you gave the I have more haircuts than goals.
Yeah.
A bit of banter right there.
Daniel, it was a good episode. It was a great episode. This marks the end of episode 7. We're almost at, week 8. It's crazy to think that we're here, and we've just been having a great time doing these podcasts because we love doing it. You know, it tests our knowledge and gives us, some time to talk about what we love, and that's the Premier League, especially when there's been so much negativity this year with COVID and all that. So just great to take our minds off of it for a bit, and just two guys talking about sports and soccer. So it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope you guys really enjoy it because we love giving you guys content, and just like Andrew said, giving you guys 45 minutes to talk a little bit about the Prem. Join us in our conversations, and just take your mind off of everything that's happening right now in the world.
Yeah. That marks the end of the episode, episode 7. We're going to title this one Diego Maradona. Rest in peace, Diego Maradona. I'm Andrew Mello, your host, as always. And alongside with me is my co-host, Daniel Barbuto. We'll see you guys next week.
See you later.
Peace.